Good evening, everyone. Even before I was preparing for this message, I thank God, and really my attitude towards God was like, God, it's not that Pastor asked me to share something, but it's in eternity past, it was decreed that on this day that we will open up our Bibles and we will hear the word of God, right? So I just thank God for just this opportunity, and thank God for my church. Yeah, I'm thankful because I learned those scriptures from my church. Yeah, and I'm thankful to God for leading me into a good Bible teaching, Bible believing, Bible preaching church. So a brief portion, I want to read one verse. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, and he says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory." So that word mystery, right? So the title of the message is "The Pursuit of God Cannot Be by the Law, but by the Mystery." The pursuit of God cannot be by the law, but by the mystery. And so let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this time that we could gather, and yet another opportunity to get to know you, to walk in that precepts, to walk in that mystery which you revealed to us. Bless this time, in Jesus' name, amen. So, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29 also goes well with the title. Okay, so the word mystery is uniquely used throughout the Bible, right? So, in the life of Joseph, Joseph had a dream, and his walk before God was because God communicated something to him. How about Daniel's life? The life of Daniel, though he was in captivity, very interesting situation. He is in front of a foreign king, and the situation is that the king is not telling him what the dream is, but he wants somebody to tell what the dream that he dreamt. He's not asking for an interpretation, but he's asking for, can somebody tell me what the dream is all about? And once the dream is shared, then Daniel also gives the interpretation for that dream, you know. So the mystery, Daniel walked because of that mystery which God communicated to him. Jesus Christ expounded the mystery of the kingdom in the Gospels, right? And the Apostle Paul, he mentions a lot of mystery. And if you see the lives of Joseph, the lives of Daniel, Paul, they all came to one conclusion, and that is the pursuit of God cannot be by the law. It has to be because of the mystery God has communicated to them, right? So the source of the mystery is in the revealed word of God. The source of the mystery is in the revealed word of God. We can otherwise also say the mystery and the revelation go hand in hand. And that's in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3, and Colossians chapter 1, verse 26. So the revelation and the mystery are like intertwined. They are together. Okay, and this mystery, it is a divine secret which seems to be hidden, but it is revealed by the revealed truth. It's a divine secret which seems to be hidden, but it is revealed by divine truth. That's Deuteronomy 29, verse 29. And I want to take one example, and that is, he is a less spoken man in the Bible. And can we go to John chapter 1? John chapter 1, and verse 43. And the person whom I am referring to is Nathaniel. And in verse 43, it says, "The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, 'Follow me.'" Verse 44. "Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter." Verse 45. "Philip found Nathanael and said to him, 'We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph.'" Can you just picture this scene? Maybe Philip and Nathanael are friends, we don't know. But it's like one friend telling another friend, you know, it's like, "I have found a great church. I have found the truth. I have found what I was really seeking for." And Philip is like so excited, and he goes and tells Nathanael, "Hey, we have found the Messiah, who's written in the book, in Moses, and all the prophets spoke about this, and I have found him." And he says, and I like Nathanael's reply. He says, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip says to him, come and see. Okay, I think we can all put our names in the places where we came from. Okay, if I came from, say, a very remote village, maybe I came from a very poor background, whatever it is, you know, you can put your name there and say, "Can anything good come out of that place?" And God will say yes, because of Jesus, right? And so verse 47, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming towards him and said of him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit.'" I think this is a great commendation towards Nathanael. Maybe Nathanael was a straight guy. He didn't know how to, you know, muska, or, you know, use some flowery words in his speech. He was very straight, you know. So, and Jesus says, "Yeah, behold him," because he's a guy who, like, speaks straight. He doesn't flatter. He doesn't say something and mean something else. He is saying what he's saying, and he's saying, "Can something good come out of Nazareth?" Right? And yeah, interestingly, it's like Jesus meets Nathanael, right? And look at verse 48, the reply of Nathanael. Okay. Yeah, he says, how do you know me? How do you think Nathanael would have asked Jesus if Jesus is here? Because he's a straight guy, right? There's no deceit. He would have just been so arrogant and said, how do you know me? How do you know me? Okay? Yeah, the encounter is happening, right? Something is going to happen now, right? And Jesus said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Verse 49, Nathanael answered and said to him. Now the tone is changed immediately, right? It's changing, saying, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God, and you are the King of Israel." So, verse 50, Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." Right? Our encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ is like that, right? Because somewhere Jesus Christ touched us, and he knows something about us, and we put our faith in him. Okay, and this is what Jesus is saying: you are believing in me just because I said something about you. Is that so? Is that the only thing? But let me tell you, Nathaniel, you will see greater things. You will see greater things than this encounter which you are talking about. You will see greater things, and that is the mystery of faith, right? And he said to him, verse 51, "Most assuredly I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Right? So, as I said, the pursuit of God cannot be by the law, but it is by the mystery. And we are pursuing God because I'm sure in all of our hearts, there is something which God has communicated. And there is that mystery which we are holding on to. And then we are progressing in that, right? So, I listed down 12 mysteries, okay, the Bible talks about. And few mysteries I left out because they are from Revelations. But these 12 mysteries are intertwined and very relevant to our life of sanctification with God. Okay, so number one, the mystery of the kingdom. Jesus talks about it, Mark 4, verse 11. The second one, the mystery of the gospel, Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. Third, the mystery of the resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. Verse 4, the mystery of his will, right? We all struggle with this, but God reveals his will in a mystery, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. How about this? I want to know who Christ is. The mystery of Christ, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. I want to know the mystery, but it cannot be apart from revelation. The mystery known by revelation, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 3. Number 7, the mystery of the fellowship, right? Ephesians 3, verse 9. I remember talking to a woman in Wildfield in an outreach, and I told, you know what, you can talk to Almighty God. And she was just stunned. And I remember seeing her, and she's like, "Are you really serious? And you're telling me that I can talk to God Almighty?" And I said, "Yes." The mystery of the fellowship that you and I can have with God Almighty. Number 8, the mystery of marriage, the church and Christ. Ephesians 5, verse 32. Verse 9, number 9, the mystery of God, the Father and the Son. Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. Number 10, the mystery of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 9. Number 11, the mystery of godliness. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And the 12th one, the mystery of lawlessness. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. And I was seeing in the life of sanctification, the mystery aspect is very much there for all the believers. And out of these 12, there's only one aspect which is of the other kingdom. But the 11 are all so much like you are knowing God, the mystery of who God is and walking very personally with him, right? And this is what I was paralleling in the life of Nathaniel. When Jesus meets Nathaniel, he's telling Nathaniel, you believe just because I said something about you, but you will see greater things than these, right? And his first encounter, and I want to close with this, in John chapter 21, It is the resurrected Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is risen. And what has happened to the disciples? And I said, Nathanael is there. And before I forget, the word Nathanael, the meaning of the word Nathanael means given by God. That's what his meaning is, the meaning of his name, given by God. So God gave him the mystery. And he, in his walk with Jesus Christ, and he is there at that point, John 21, it's almost like, seems like it's almost over, but then the mystery of the resurrection, right? Jesus Christ meets him, and it says in John 21, verse 1, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And this way, he showed himself, right? Two times the word showed. And who was there? Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin. And here's that guy, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, right? So did Jesus show him great things? Absolutely, yes. Did he show him the mystery of the kingdom? Yes. Did he show him the mystery of the gospel? Yes. Did he show him the mystery of what God's will is? Yes. Did he show him the mystery of Jesus Christ? Yes. Did he show him what the mystery of the fellowship means? Yes. Did he understand the mystery of the church? Yes. Jesus taught them that the church is going to happen. Did he see the mystery of the Godhead, the Father and the Son? Yes. Did he see the mystery of faith? Yes. Did he see the mystery of godliness? Yes. Did he see the mystery of lawlessness? Yes. Did he see the mystery of resurrection? Yes. Right, so in closing, so it's so beautiful when we are walking with God, it is God like progressively revealing things to us, but it's also like walking in the mystical aspect of who God is in our lives, right? Father, we thank you for this time. I pray you bless these thoughts to our hearts, and also pray for the remainder of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, good evening, everybody. That was a beautiful message. So, just let's reiterate that. 1 Corinthians 2:7, hidden wisdom unto our glory. Just think about how you got saved. It was a process, right? And John chapter 1, I will show you greater things than these. So, before we get into the message, I have a praise report. So, this is almost the end of the month. Many things we prayed for. So, the first thing is, we prayed for Pastor Solomon fervently, and he's in heaven today. And as Royal beautifully said, the prayer did get answered, but not in the way we wanted. So that's one beautiful thing. The second thing is we prayed for Sarvanan, and he got his second son. Isn't that great? Yes. The third thing, we didn't pray for this, but it's we can thank God, and then we later on prayed for it, was 6 candidates signed up for baptism, and everybody got excited. In the end, it became 9 candidates. And the people who blew my breath away was Auntie Harriet and Auntie Pushpam. They never complained about the cold water. Everybody else complained about the cold water. Okay, the fourth praise report is I visited my sister yesterday. She's finished the fourth chemo. She is much better. She's able to do a few things, and she has really thanked all of you. She's asked you all to continue to pray. There are some more chemos, but she told me, I feel like I've been healed. So I really want to thank you for that. Fifth praise report is, we are halfway through Bible college semester. And the sixth thing to praise God for is, 40 people are going to Coimbatore. But I am staying. So all those who are 40 people who are going, have a great time, have a blast with Pastor Benny. But I'm going to have a blast with all those who remain. Because the reward for those who go is the same for the reward for those who stay with the baggage, right? So I'm staying, yeah? So Sunday morning service is going to happen, okay? Yeah, so these are some. So it's good, you know, we have a forgetful memory. And I'm writing things down. It's good to remember these things and be thankful to God. Amen? It's good to remember these things and be thankful to God. I think also Caleb was healed of chicken pox. Yes, that's another prayer answered. Amen. So let's turn to Numbers chapter 13. And Numbers 13, verses 1 to 3. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them." So Moses sent them from the wilderness of Paran, according to the command of the Lord, all of them men who were heads of the children of Israel. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the worship. Thank you for the message we heard, your hidden wisdom unto our glory. And we pray you would really speak to us now, Lord. You would illuminate your word. You would speak personally to each one of us. You would deliver us. You would heal us. You would quicken us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The theme for today, which I'd like to speak on, is receive the promise of God through faith. Receive the promise of God through faith. And if you see Numbers chapter 13, this is a popular chapter. And Numbers 13 and 14 are important chapters to study because these are pivotal chapters in the Pentateuch. This is like a main event which happens. And it totally changes the history of the people of Israel, right? And we see here just a simple outline of the 13th chapter. Verses 1 to 3 is the promise of God. God says, send the people to spy out the land. I'm giving you the land of Canaan. Verses 4 to 16 talks about the 12 leaders, each leader of each tribe which was chosen. Verses 17 to 20 talks about Moses' instructions, what they are supposed to do. This is just a simple outline. Verses 21 to 25, they go, they spy out the land for 40 days and they come back. So they execute Moses' command. In verses 26 to 29 is the report of the 10 leaders. And in verses 30 to 31, there are two points of view. So this is just a simple outline. So we see that Moses instructs them in verse 17. He said, go up into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage, bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So this was the instruction he gives them. And they go in verse 21, and we see in verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol, and they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some of the pomegranates and figs. Now just imagine how heavy the grapes are. What is it? You know what's a cluster of grapes, right? But this is a huge, so between two they are carrying it. They are getting the pomegranates and the figs. And they come back. Now we see what their report is. We see in verse 27, this is what they say. They told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit." This is something which God had promised before. It would be a land flowing with milk and honey. So what is the assessment? It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Verse 28. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains. And the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. So this is the negative aspect. Verse 30. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." The verse 30 and verse 31 are important. We see that 10 people say, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Whereas in verse 30, Caleb says, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." What do we see here? We see two points of view in verse 30 and 31. And the points of view are, one is by faith. Caleb is saying, by faith we are able to overcome it. And one is by sight. One is by sight. And we see here the contrast between the spiritual mind and the rational mind. What is it? The contrast between the spiritual mind and the rational mind. Now, the issue we need to ask ourselves is, were they lying? Were the 10 people lying? Were they exaggerating? No, they were speaking correctly. But what was their point of view? Their point of view was by sight. What was Caleb's point of view? It was by faith. And later on, we see, verse 32, "And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature.' There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. So we were in their sight." Now, they are saying two things. We are not able, which is correct. They were not able. And number two, we are like grasshoppers, which is also correct. Right? Now, what do we see here? We see here is the response of the people to the promise of God. What is it? The response. What was their response? Their response was of unbelief. Unbelief. Yes, it's flowing with milk and honey. Yes, whatever God said is true, but this is, incorrect. They are bigger than us. They are taller than us. We will not be able to take them out. Unbelief. And so we see their response of unbelief. So when we come to Numbers 14, so 10 leaders come back and tell Moses and Aaron and the camp. And now we see what happens, verse 1. "So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let us select a leader and return to Egypt.'" Right? Right? For a moment, you can turn to Deuteronomy 1. And this is Moses, saying this story historically to the next generation. Deuteronomy chapter 1. And you can read this part. Okay. And this is what they say. Okay. Chapter 1, verse 27. "And you complained in your tents and said, Because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim there. Then I said to them, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way by which you should go, in the fire by night and in the cloud by day. Now, there is one wrong presupposition they hold on to. And what is the presupposition? Is in verse 3. Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? It's a presupposition which is wrong. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, oh, the Lord hates us, therefore he has come here to destroy us. It's a wrong presupposition, right? And we know what the Bible says. That the Bible says that God always intends our very best for us. He never intends second best. That is something very fundamental in the Bible. And when you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see that God always has his best interests for his people and for his children. And they were in this situation, and they made the wrong presupposition. And we see that in chapter 14, verse 11 to 25, Moses prays for them. And in verse 24, this is what God says. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. Right? And then from verse 26 to verse 28 of Numbers 14, we see the consequences of their disobedience. The 10 spies die by a plague. And then God says that for every day that you went into the promised land, for 40 days, you, this generation, 20 years and above, who complained, you will circle in the wilderness for 40 days. And you will die, and I will take your children in. And the one who would take them in would be Joshua and Caleb. Moses and Aaron also die. Moses sins against God in Numbers 20 and is forbidden from getting into the promised land. Aaron dies of old age, right? And so these two. So what do we see here? And this is important. Their reference point was Egypt. You know, it is possible in the walk of sanctification, when we go through, when we are walking with God, and God is revealing his promise and his plan to us, it may not make total sense. It may involve the Anakims and the hindrances. And you know, if we take on a perspective by sight, we may think, oh, I was better off when I was an unbeliever. Have you ever had that thought? I was better off when I was an unbeliever. I ate food to the full. Now I'm in the wilderness and there is this leeks and the, not leeks, this manna. Like you can say, I'm in the dorm and there is just kanji and pickle. What's happening out here? I was better off when I was an unbeliever. I ate the fish, the leek, the onions. Now look where we are, right? And the reference point should be the Red Sea crossing. The reference point is Exodus 14 and 15, when God opened the Red Sea and he destroyed Pharaoh's army. And they were released out of bondage after 430 years, once and for all, which is typical of salvation. You know what our reference point is? Our reference point when we are faced with a situation is the historical cross. We remember the cross where Jesus died for us. He was buried and he rose again. And Joshua is a type of Jesus, right? His name was Hosea, and Moses said Joshua. Hosea means salvation in verse 16 of Numbers 13. And Moses said Yahweh is salvation, or the God of salvation, Joshua, right? And Jesus, right? He is a type, and he died on the cross. He was buried and he rose again. And he did the biggest thing for you and me. And what was that? He paid for all our sin once and for all. Once and for all through one sacrifice in Hebrews 10. He paid for it once and for all. And when the gospel was presented to you and you accepted him as your savior in your heart, you were given eternal life once and for all. And the moment you believed, you were immediately translated from the sphere of darkness, or the kingdom of darkness, into the kingdom of his dear son. Right? So for eternity, you and I are going to be in heaven because of what? The historical cross. For eternity, your one act of faith has saved you forever. Now in the walk of sanctification, as we are walking with the Lord, nothing can be greater than that point. And that should be our frame of reference. And not Egypt, not the world. But the frame of reference is the historical cross. The frame of reference is the day you got born again. Right? And God gave you eternal life. And now, God gives us his promises. I've come that they might have life and have it what? More abundantly. God is not keeping us here on the earth to struggle and be sorrowful and mournful and, you know, all the time. How's it? Oh, I'm struggling. It's painful. God has not kept us here for that. Yes, there are those times. But God wants us to be what? Joyful. God wants us to be happy. God wants us to have joy and peace and love and the fruit of the Holy Spirit in us. And it is all promised to us. But the difference between the promise being given and the realization coming to pass is our faith that what God has said will happen. Amen? It's just our faith. So salvation, how do you get saved? You get saved when the gospel comes and you believe. Right? But even the walk of faith is also by faith, because Romans 1:17, the just shall live by faith. It's a principle of faith. Right? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone to believes. As it is written, from faith to faith, and the just shall live by faith. So the principle of faith is at every point in our walk with God. Okay, you got saved at this point. You are always walking by faith today. And this is really important today. I've said this before, I want to say it over and over again. If you and I want a Christianity like this, where we say, let us go back to Egypt, let us select the leader, then that is a decision which God permits. And that's totally fine. And you and I, we can make our plan, we can select our leader and go back to Egypt. But when you go back to Egypt, you know what there is? There's no life there. There's only death. Physically, they died, that whole generation. The 10 spies died immediately. But as an application of that, when you and I make a decision that we are going to go back to the world, go back, I'm going to stop following God. It's getting too hard. The anakims are too big. There's only death. But when you take the step of faith and say, no, what God has said is true, then what is there? There is life. There is the land of milk and honey. Right? So what do we see here today? What do we see here? This is an important principle in Matthew 16. Let's turn there and we'll close. And I really want us to think about it. Verse 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, when you and I decide to go back, then it is my plan. And who is in charge? I am in charge. And I am going to make things happen for myself. And that's one way to live. But when you live by faith, then it is God's plan. God is in charge. God is in control. I'm going to trust him. But something has to happen. I need to die to myself. And there are two ways to live in the Christian life. It's very simply two ways after being saved. You can live in a way where you save your life. Oh, this is too hard. Mission field is too hard. Discipleship is too hard. Bible college is too hard. Going on the street is too hard. I'll go back, right, to Egypt. Or I can what? Die to myself and lose it and find his life and find the land of milk and honey. And it's there. It is promised for you and for me. So we see here, you know why there are, I'm talking in principle. In any church in the world, the people will be in these two principles. There will be one set of people who will be losing their life, and there'll be another set of people who will be saving their life. And the differences and the fighting and whatever happens in principle is because of this principle. It is not because they are bad people or sinful people. They are all saved by grace. It is because some want to, what? Lose their life and go forward. And some want to, what? Preserve their life and go back. That is the conflict. That is the conflict. That could be a conflict in a particular church in the world. That could be a conflict in the family between a husband and wife. That could be a conflict between parents and children. Right? This is the conflict. Are you and I willing to lose our lives? Because when we lose our lives, we will find his life. And what he has promised, the land flowing with milk and honey, becomes ours. It becomes realized. And if you read Joshua chapter 5, 40 years later, Joshua and Caleb, they went into the promised land with the children of their brothers and sisters, their friends, with the children. And the promise was fulfilled, because what God has promised, he will what? Fulfill. So in conclusion today, you and I have a beautiful thing which has been given to us, which is free will. Individual free will. In Numbers 13 and 14, it is talking about a nation. But today for us in the age of grace, God is speaking to the church, and he is speaking to us as individuals in the church. And as individuals in the church, we have a will. God promises us something. And you and I can decide whether we want to believe what God has said or live by a rational mind or by sight. And if we live by a rational mind or sight, we will say, we will also, speak evil. And you know, also what is very unique to see is, you know, if I'm a leader, if I'm a pastor, I'm an outreach leader, I'm a leader as a husband in my home, you and I, we can direct, or we can make the direction for the people under us. We can either direct them to God and following the Lord, or we can direct them, we are not following the Lord, we are going back to the world. Let's go back to the world. That's in our hands. 10 men influenced the whole 2.5 million people. Right? And two men stood up. Who were they? Caleb and Joshua. And who went in? Caleb and Joshua with the next generation. So our free will. I can't choose for you, and you can't choose for me. We have to choose for ourselves. Okay, God has promised this. What is the second thing? Faith is the key. And when you read Numbers 13 and 14, God says, these 10 times they have tested me. 10 times I gave them signs. The greatest sign was the Red Sea crossing. And 10 times, you know, the water in Exodus 15, the manna following in Exodus 16. There were so many, the pillar of cloud, you know, by day, the pillar of fire by night, right? All this evidence was there to believe. It was not like they couldn't believe. But they just choose to rebel in Deuteronomy 1. That's what it says. And when we, you know, walk by faith and believe by faith, and we wholeheartedly depend on God, what happens? We receive the promises. Amen? We receive. So in closing today, let's receive the promises of God through faith. Yes? God has made precious promises in the Bible to us. Right? Like, for example, Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. That's a promise. And if God calls you for any particular work, to be a missionary, to have a calling or whatever, even to be a person who works in the world, what has he promised? He has promised that he will supply all our need. He has promised, be anxious for nothing. But make your request to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in. He has promised that. Right? He has promised, you know, forgiving one another even as I have forgiven you. In 1 John 1, as soon as you confess, I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. It's promised. Right? So all these promises are for us. And today, we can simply believe and simply go forward. And get into the land flowing with milk and honey. And spiritually speaking for us, it is a heart which is totally at rest. That's what Pastor Benny preached last Wednesday. When you mix faith with what you hear, you enter into rest. There's no restlessness. Your heart will be at rest. When you sleep tonight, you can sleep well. You can snow. You can get up, you know, knowing God is in control. Why? It's by faith. No anxiety, no stress, no hatred, no unforgiveness, no wishy-washy, no deceit, no saying one thing and meaning another thing. No. Why? Why? Because I have believed in what the Word is saying. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, loving kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All of this is mine. Right? So, let's think about this today. Right? Faith. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. At every point, you know, when God gave them that promise, he never said, you all are going to go and remove the Anakims out. What did he say? I will give you the land. In Joshua 5, they never fought. They just went around, and then this 7 day they did 7 times, and they shouted and the walls came down. God gave them the victory. See, all the hindrances in sanctification, God will deal with. All that God wants is for us to believe that he's going to deal with it. That's all. God is not telling you to sponsor your mission. God is not telling you, my dear son, work hard for so many years, collect money, and then go to the mission field, and that money which you have collected will provide for you. He may do that in some sovereign cases. But when God says, my son, I want you to go, I will provide for you, means we believe that, that he will provide for us. It's a mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery of faith. So in conclusion today, are we excited this morning? Sorry, this evening? Yes. I'm excited. Why? Because faith pleases God. That's what we heard this morning. And let's continue to fervently pray for Bindu, fervently pray for Esther and her family, fervently pray for Pastor Brian. Fervently, I've never seen the power of prayer the last 6 months like I've done the last 6 months. It's unbelievable. God can pray. When somebody is making a decision which is contrary and they're not willing to listen to the word, you can make an overruling prayer and they will come back into action. Right? The power of prayer. So let's receive the promises of God. Amen? What? Right? This is the ever ready ad. Give me more. Right? Let's not say, oh, I'm happy. I got a little house. No, God, give me more. What did Caleb said? Numbers 14, 13, 14. Give me this mountain. Joshua 13, 14. Give me this mountain. Come on. Right? Right? Can you give me this mountain? Can you give me the wife? Can you give me the children? Can you give me the mission field? Yes or no? Yes. Yes. So let's believe God this season. Let's trust God. Let's go forward. Let's walk with Him. Let's lose our lives. Because when we lose our lives, we will find His life. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this evening. Thank You, Lord. Your word is true. The mysteries which You have revealed to us, the mystery of the gospel, which Satan has blinded the minds of people in the world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, lest they should believe. Yet You were merciful unto us and You opened our eyes to believe in You, Lord. And today, Lord, in our personal lives, in our walk with You, in our families, in our church, we desire, Lord, that we would simply believe You. That what You have said is yes and amen. All Your promises are yes and amen. That what You have promised, You will fulfill. And help us to be people not only who believe, but also see the fulfillment of those promises. Yes, Lord. Yes, just like the old person said when he took the baby Jesus, I have seen. Yes, I have seen. It was a fulfillment to him. So we want to see the fulfillment, Lord, in our personal lives. Pray for Bindu. Thank You for Manoj's testimony. Pray for a complete healing. Thank You for my sister's healing. Yes, pray for my mom. Pray for Pastor Brian, complete healing. Pastor Carl, Lord, be with him. Andrew, Susie, Lord, Esther's family, we pray. And thank You for speaking to us once again, we pray. In Jesus' name.